Now, they can argue all they want to. I'm not going to change my mind any more about Melchizedek than I will about Jonah.
That's right.
I won't do it. Because what the Scripture says, it means.
Sure. Yes, sir.
I'm not going to get into Jonah this morning. I've been talking to you about our great high priest and with a lot of ramifications taken into it. The task of the high priest in the Old Testament, Aaron was the high priest. The sons of Levi, after Aaron, took over in the office of priesthood and ministered, as well as Aaron's two sons, who died, by the way. For one thing, they offered strange fire before the Lord, and God killed them. Does it matter how you walk? Yeah, I reckon it does. If you read that, people say, oh, if I believe what you believe, I'd go out here and live just like I please. Go on. Just go ahead and try it. And God will do to you maybe worse than happened to the sons of Aaron or to the sons of Eli. And Eli was a prominent figure.
Yes, sir.
The priesthood of Aaron, that is the Levitical priesthood, did not continue.
That's right.
What was the task of the high priest? The high priest made an offering for sin. He made an atonement. And he made intercession for the people. You read about all the other sacrifices other than the Day of Atonement. You read of all the other sacrifices that were made. Doves, sheep, goats, bullocks, red heifers. You see, all of these sacrifices were to come between the people and a holy God.
Yes, sir.
Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Amen.
None. So the high priest made atonement through obedience to God in the offering of blood, and he made intercession in all of these other offerings for the people. But it did not continue. If you look at the, verse 17 of Hebrews 7. Well, that's not right. But here, let me go on. God testifies in his word. See verse 17 of chapter 7 of Hebrews. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever. How? After the order of Melchizedek.
Yes, sir.
Now, God identifies him in his word.
That's right.
Well, what then, Earl, was Melchizedek? He was, here's a five-syllable, $15 word. He was a theophany. He was the appearance of Christ pre-incarnate. That's what he was. Now, did that ever happen before? Why, yeah, it happened in the garden. When God came down and walked in fellowship with Adam and Eve, who do you think that was? That was Christ pre-incarnate. Then when I often think of this pre-incarnate Christ, Walter, sometimes he's called the angel of the Lord or the messenger of the Lord. Now, if you remember back when Joshua was coming up on that great battle, and it evidently was dark, and off in the shadows he saw a figure, Joshua whips out his sword.
Yes, sir.
And he said, art thou for us or against us? Where do you stand? That's a pretty good question.
Yes, sir.
Well, the voice answered him and identified himself as the angel of the Lord. So the God of battle was with Joshua, and he manifested himself in the person of Jesus Christ. We say it over and over again. Walter says it. I say it. You've heard Henry say it 100 times. Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And he's real.
Right. Yes, sir.
It's not some kind of dream that we've had. This thing, the Word of God says, this thing was not done in a corner.
Exactly.
And the reason we don't know more about what the book teaches is the fact that we don't hear it often enough. I'm thankful for this little handful of people here. To me, it's a necessary feeding place. Now, the Father then names Christ, the Son, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And if you look at verses 21 through 28, for those priests were made without an oath. That is the Old Testament priests. This priest after the order of Melchizedek was made with an oath.
Yes, sir.
And it was God's oath. For those priests, Old Testament priests, were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Amen.
By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. How in the world can you say that that was an angel? My soul, it just won't wash. Now, look at verse 9 of chapter 5. I can't begin there. And he saith in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, talking about the same thing. Now listen. Who in the days of his flesh... Here's the order of Melchizedek, and he's got flesh. In the days of his flesh, who's he talking about? He's talking about Christ. When he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. He was made like unto sinful man. He was tested in all points as we are tested, apart from sin. Though he were a son. Now, I'm not going to say that I understand all of what I'm reading here in this verse. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Now, how do you learn obedience, and how do I learn obedience? The same way. The same way. By the things we suffer. Actually, good times don't help us much in our relationship with God.
That's right.
Not very much.
That's right.
And like Tim James says, that he... what was that statement he made about the fact that he didn't pray for patience because God would send him tribulation? Because tribulation worketh patience. So this is Christ now, that he learned obedience by the things he suffered, and being made perfect, and he's the only one.
Yes, sir.
Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say. Now, Paul wrote this to these Hebrew believers. And we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye, now he's talking to these Jews here, seeing that ye are, what, dull of hearing. there are a lot of believers. I mean, I expect they'll be in the presence of Christ. I expect them to be a part of the body of Christ. But they are dull of hearing. Is that their fault? No. You've got to have something to hear. And like Walter mentioned it, I don't know how many times I've said that. It's no good news to tell a man he's a sinner and going to hell. What's good news about that? And yet this is what you hear continually and continually. And do you know something else? Unless God is in a healing ministry, he doesn't benefit you any at all to believe. A bunch of nonsense. Listen, we live, we're born, we live by God's purpose and God's will a lifetime, and we die, and some sickness is going to take us out of the here. Sometime we're going to lay down and not get up. Now that's just the truth. Now I don't know whether angels will come to bear you home. I don't know that. I don't read it. Angels didn't even bear Christ home. He ascended.
Yes, sir.
And that's the truth of that, too. But I'll tell you something far better. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's going to walk home with you.
Amen.
Now, that's just the truth. I'll tell you a story, and it's about relation of mine. It's my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law and my sister had he was just a common, ordinary Joe. I mean, he wasn't educated at all, but was a tool and die maker in a subsidiary of Caterpillar Tractor, and worked all of his life at the trade. But he and my sister were going into Peoria one time from Germantown Hills, and a car passed a semi on a hill and hit him head on. And they both nearly died. But he told me later, he was unconscious for days. And he said, you know, I don't remember a thing about that wreck. He said, all I know about that wreck is what I was told. My sister was the same way. But he said, you know, while they tell me while I was unconscious that I was just in and out. But he said, I'm going to tell you something that I've not told anyone else because they think you're crazy. But somebody stood there with me. I have no problem believing that. None at all. Because he said, I won't leave you. I won't do it. And I'm depending on that. Because I'm not particularly enthusiastic about death. It's the last enemy. That's what the book says. Well, but look what, look at verse 9. I have to hurry on. And being made perfect, that is the Son, Christ, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Now, you've had a lot of Greek thrown at you this morning in comparison. Well, this is an interesting thing. Eternal salvation in the Greek New Testament is one word. And it occurs in one other place. In the book of Hebrews. All right, now the meaning of this Greek word occurs in the American version, authorized version, means eternal, everlasting, before the world began, since the world began, and forever. Definition number one, without beginning and end, that which always has been and always will be.
Yes.
Number two, without beginning. Number three, without end, never to cease, everlasting. Doesn't that do something for you?
Yes, sir.
An everlasting salvation. That belongs to the one who believes God in the person of Christ and obeys him. Well, now, Earl, that's law. No. What is it to do the will of God? What is it?
Exactly.
It's to believe on him whom he hath sent.
Amen.
Bow to Christ.
Amen.
Bow to the high priest.
Yeah.
As a sign, not in order to, but as a result of being chosen in him before the foundation of the world. It's a result. Go down into the waters of baptism, as did Patrick and Doug last Sunday. Go down into the waters of baptism. Well, why do I have to be baptized? You don't have to be. Nobody says that. But I do say this, that we are to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And baptism is the way to do it.
Yes, sir.
It's the way to do it. It's a good, well, you know, you stay and you hold this task for some 60 years and you wonder how many things you've said before. But I want you to see, now I'm still talking about that high priest. I want you to see a familiar passage of Scripture that you know by heart. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Now, this whole section of Romans here, from chapter 8 on down through the 12th chapter, is to strengthen the believer and to assure them, inasmuch as assurance can come, that salvation is real. And to strengthen them in this walk in which there are manifold trials and troubles. To let the believer know, being in Christ, he or she is safe forever. Not only safe from the standpoint of being saved from something future, but being protected from something that might be. Here, young people come up against a situation, and come up against them they will. And they look around and they say, well, everybody else is doing it. I'll go this way too. You don't have to. You don't have to. You say, well, I got the old nature within me. You're supposed to kill it. When you know enough, you're supposed to stomp it to death. The trouble of it is, we don't know enough. You look at something and you're attracted to it. And this goes for older people too. But you say, no, that's going to compromise me in the sight of my Lord. And you know what Paul told the Corinthians? If a thing seemeth to be sin to you, it is sin.
That's right.
That's what he said.
Yes, sir.
That's what he said. If you think a thing to be sin, it's sin.
Amen.
And you'll be judged for it. But where was the charge laid? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? No one. Paul's answering a question that down farther in the chapter, he answers that question that he's already asked. He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, not only Romans 8, but these things in Hebrews takes us into the inner court, figuratively speaking now. It takes us into the inner counsels of God. and shows us our eternal position in Christ. We are in the high priest as well as being ministered for by the high priest in the presence of God. In other words, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now, he's not asking God, he's not asking the Father that we go to heaven. And the Holy Spirit, we read, maketh intercession for us.
Amen.
Because we don't know how to pray even. We're so dumb.
That's it. That's right.
We don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, you say, the Holy Spirit's going to pray for me. I don't know why I should. Well, if he's going to pray for you, you're going to have to. You can't make an interpretation out of something that you don't hear. I was sitting with Unibel the other night, and there was a newscast on about the borders in Mexico. And neither one of us could read the print. It was subtitled. And we couldn't read the print because the background of the print was light in color, you know. And bless Pat, the words were white. So you can't see white against white, or at least I can't. Oh, they had an outline around them, but that didn't mean anything to eyes that are like as old as my hair. I tried to interpret what the people were saying in Spanish, and I told Elizabeth yesterday it was right pitiful because I could only get a few words out of maybe 50%. Because one, they talk too fast, and the other is I forgot most of it. But now, what I'm saying is that there are things that we don't know, and some things that we did know, we don't remember. Or when we fall into temptation, we disregard them. We don't hear right, we don't see right, we don't feel right. And we go ahead and fall flat on our face. And every time you do, you suffer the consequences. Every time. Now, this preacher doesn't condemn anybody to hell. But I'm saying the child of God that doesn't heed the movement of the Holy Spirit will see difficulties beyond measure. And they'll not cease. Now, let's look at this question. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Seated in the heavenlies, in heaven itself, at the Father's right hand, is our great high priest. Paul asks another question there in the 34th verse. This high priest is making intercession for us. I've said that before. And he says, who is he that condemneth? Who condemns you before God, before the high priest? Because that's all you're going to see. The Son is the only one that sees the Father. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Now, if you aren't condemned by him, if you have an imputed righteousness, condemnation is passed, because the condemnation did what? It fell on him. Walter, that was good this morning in that, and oh, how often I've used that. We will not have this man to reign over us. You know the opposite of that? Lord, reign over me. That should be the prayer of every believer, no matter what the path, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what my condition, Lord, reign in my life. R-E-I-G-N. Reign. The old Cleveland Colored Quintet used to have a song called Reign, Blessed Jesus, Reign, and they could bring the roof down with it. Sometimes just about did. Now, Hebrews 8, verses 1 and 2, gives us another thought. I'm going to be done in just a little bit. Now, the things which we have spoken, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Paul said, I'm drawing a line and I'm adding it up. We have such an high priest. That's Christ. Who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty, in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary. And of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Of the true tabernacle. That tabernacle that he occupied was the body, the fleshly body. The tabernacle that he occupies now is the heavenly tabernacle in the presence of God. Every child of God, whether young in the faith or whether old in the faith, if you're young in the faith and haven't followed Christ in obedience and baptism, do it. Do it. And older believers as well. There's a lot of things that bring us to the place where we live in anxiety and fear. I told Ellen this morning, I saw her go out last night with Jack at 5 o'clock. You don't know what tomorrow is going to be. I don't know what tomorrow morning is going to bring. But I know this. I know this. I believe this. I'm convinced of this, that God is able to save unto the uttermost all men that come unto God by Christ, for he ever liveth. Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us. So the thing that we want to do, you need this last section of Romans 8 in order to triumph, in order to have some sense of victory, and I don't like that word, but I use it once in a while, in the struggles and the disappointments of life. And they're going to come. There are people out here that, and I mentioned this before, that work at a regular job so that they can party on Saturday and Sunday. That's what they work for. And they work 5 days a week, and they spend every nickel of it on the weekend partying. That's pitiful, you know it?
Yes, sir.
The only thing they're doing is trying to blot out an existence that is so unhappy and so mean that they'd like never see it again. But they do. They do. It's always wake-up time. Always. We need to know what's happening not only to us, but what's happening in us. And Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now, when we read chapter 8, of Romans, and we read verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. God did not spare his son, delivered him. That I was going to remind you of this too. They said, we will not have this man reign over us. Who did they ask for? One of their own kind. And they got what they deserved. They said, give us Barabbas. Give us the thief. Pilate said, shall I crucify your king? They said, give us Barabbas. And in order to satisfy the people, he turned loose a convicted criminal and crucified the Lord of glory. He delivered him up for us all. Now God did this. This is what this says. God did this. How shall he, God, not with him, Christ, also freely give us all things? Because he's already given us the greatest thing that can be. There's nothing else that I know that can silence the voice of conscience and bring our hearts to that place that Hebrews talks about, where we rest only in Christ. Only in him. Not in anything we do. not in any of our deeds. And we ought to have some deeds. I'm not saying that. But we don't rest in those things. We're not going to stand before God and say, Lord, what am I going to get for preaching 40 years, Walter, or 60 years, whatever. They talk about crowns and mansions and all of this junk. That's all earthly. I won't even need a roof over my head. I won't have any need for it. It's silly stuff. That streets of gold, it doesn't matter one way or another because it's worthless. But I'm telling you, there's a full rest in Jesus Christ. And no matter what turmoil lays in your mind, and no matter how it goes around in a constant circle, you can lay down and say, or fall down, or kneel down, or sit down, I don't care what position you're in, and say, Lord, I want to rest in you, and I know that you can cause all of this to come out to strengthen me and for your glory. That's very simple. You can do that. As long as we live here on this earth, there will be a consciousness of sin's presence. There's not a day passes that I'm not aware of sin. But as long as we look to this passage of Scripture and to this great high priest, we can be quiet in our souls. God gave Christ for you as his child and to you, and that Christ is now at the right hand of the Father as our representative. I'm going to quit. I want to do something before I do. I don't think you've heard this enough. That's tongue in cheek now. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who even is now at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What does that mean? It means he's praying for us.
Yes, sir.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, doesn't matter a bit, Paul said. Doesn't matter a bit. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You can't conquer in yourself. You're going to be a rambling wreck.
That's it.
If you try to conquer in yourself. And believe me, this old man knows that better than most people. Mac, you know what a sprag is, don't you? Well, I stood two-thirds of my life with a sprag in my hand thinking to stop a runaway. But it never succeeded. So, in these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now listen, you know it, you've heard it 100 times. Maybe there'll be a word here, a suggestion, a help. For I am persuaded that neither death, that's our last enemy, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, whatever is real today, whatever's your worst worry today, your greatest concern today, your greatest sin today, nor things present, nothing, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now this is speaking to those who believe. There are a lot of people who tell me, have told me, not so many anymore because I don't see that many people, There's a lot of people that tell me, have told me, well, one of these days, I believe the gospel. I fear God. One of these days, I'm going to do right. I'm gonna confess Him. No. If you don't do it, if you haven't done it, and won't do it, then this doesn't apply. It doesn't apply. Do it. Lord, reign over me, no matter what. Reign over me. Reign, blessed Jesus, reign.